here we go. All right. How is everyone this morning? You know what? There is nothing too hard for God. He knows us from our down sitting and our uprising. He knows the intentions of our heart, even from afar off. And even in the midst of us not being all that we should be for Him and to Him, He still blesses us. I don't know about you, but that's a reason to praise, right? I know we were all full from Thanksgiving and fellowshipping, but the greatest Thanksgiving is that Jesus took on the form of man, dwelled among us, gave His life for us so that we can return home to Him. All right, so I don't know. I was told I need to kick this praise party off. And I'm looking out here for my sister Loretta, and I'm like, Lord, she ain't made it yet. But we are going to kick this praise party off, because back in the day, we used to be out in the world kicking it. Okay, am I the only one that was finger popping the Parliament Funkadelic and dropping it like it's hot when you, We all were. But if we can be out in the world kicking it like that, but when God has called us into redemption, why are we not kicking it like that in here? I'm just saying. I'm just throwing that out there. Just throwing that out there. Psalms 22 says, if I'm not mistaken, the Lord inhabits the praises of His people. So every praise is to our God. I know you all know this jam, this cut. Let's kick it off. Oh, I hear you, House of Livingstone Band. Deacon Tambourine, I hear you. Come on, choir. Every praise.
Every praise to our God.
Every word.
Every praise.
It's to our God. Glory. Every praise. Every praise.
Every word of worship with one accord.
Good morning to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Another Lord's Day Sunday morning. I'm glad about it. It's not routine, because I don't take it for granted. You see me this Sunday morning, you might not see me next Sunday morning. Not because of what I'm doing, but because what God is doing. I trust you all had a wonderful Thursday, Thanksgiving Day celebration. And I reflect on, for me, every day is a day of Thanksgiving. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. He places food on the table. He allows me to walk around in good health, clothed in somewhat of my right mind. And when I look around, I see that my friends, family, and loved ones are doing okay. Every day is a day of Thanksgiving. My reading this week took me to a passage of scriptures in Isaiah, and just reminding me of the supremacy and sovereignty of my God. And it took me to Psalms, the 45th chapter, the fifth verse. And it says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God except me. It says, I will embrace and arm you, though you have not known me, that people may know from the rising to the setting of the sun, the world over, that there is none except me. I am the Lord, and there is none other, the one forming light and creating darkness, causing peace and creating disaster. I am the Lord who does all these things. Both the experiences that we undergo in this life, both darkness and light, prosperity and disaster, our lives are sprinkled with all of these experiences. But he tells me that he is the supreme ruler of them all. What do we have that the Lord has not provided? Where can you go that his presence is not overshadowing? That is worth praising and thanking God for. And then I'm reminded of that which he wants us to do in acknowledgement when we come before the communion table. The word says that I too have received that which the Lord has passed on to you, that on the night that before going to Calvary, he sat in the upper room with his disciples. And when he had taken bread, broke it and blessed it, saying, this is my body, which is broken for you. Let us eat together. And in the like manner, when he had taken the cup, blessed the cup, saying, "This is the blood in the New Testament. For as often as you drink this, you show forth my death, burial, and resurrection until I come again." Let us drink together. Amen. Put your hands together for the sacrifice of our Lord. Ushers, if there are those in the vestibule, you may allow them in at this time, as we have another opportunity to come before the throne of grace to participate in corporate worship, praise, and speaking to our God on a corporate level, knowing that your brothers and sisters are in dealing with the same trials and tribulations that we endure in this life. God promised that we would, but through it all, he promised never to leave us nor forsake us. So right now, we extend an invitation to you, if you so choose to desire, to come up to the altar. Altar prayer may be just a little different this moment here, as I won't be doing much talking as I am praising him and worshiping him. So don't listen for my voice. You'll hear it, but don't listen to my voice. Just block that out. And just take this opportunity to reflect on a supreme, holy, and righteous God who rules everything in heaven and on earth, who has provided the life that you have. You may want it better than it is, but when you stop and think about it, his grace is sufficient. When you think about it, you simply can't count all the blessing he continues to bestow upon you. For he says that he opens up the window of heaven and pours you out these blessings that sometimes will just seem to overtake you. Things that he provides for that you don't even know that you need. That's the kind of God he is. And then, Lord, when things don't go according to my selfish plans and desires, I thank you, Lord, that you have your way, and your way is best for me. Lord, I simply reflect on how great thou art. Lord, you massage our hearts with peace and your comfort. That the world didn't give it to us, and the world cannot take it away. We feast our eyes on things that are unseen, that are everlasting. So that which we see with visual eyes will one day pass away. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we dismiss the lives of the devil, saying that he keeps feeding us, telling us that we're unworthy, we don't deserve this. But if you are a child of the King, and you know who your Father is, we're not going to listen to any other voice. The Father loves us. The Father is always there. And nothing will separate us from his love. Not depth nor height, nor things above, nor things below. We are grateful, Lord. Thank you for hearing and listening to the petitions of our heart. Accept our praise and gratitude. In your loving Son Jesus' name we pray, amen.
To sing it with us. Yeah, everything to me, life and breath. Ooh, everything to me, you're my you're my joy in sorrow.
Joy in sorrow.
Ooh, everything to me. You're my hope for tomorrow.
Hope for tomorrow.
And that's why we call you Master. You're our ruler. You're our redeemer. How many of you know he's a provider? Provider. Has the Lord made a way for anybody out there? Provider. Woo! He's our provider. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. He's our Savior.
Savior.
now so you know who we're talking about. His name is Jesus. Yes, his name is Jesus. Hey, help me sing it, y'all. His name is Jesus. Come on, if you know it, sing it with us. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Woo! His name is. 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 Bless the Lord. That's why I will bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. I will bless the Lord. Come on, worship us. Oh, my soul. Oh, my soul. And all that is with. One more time, everybody. I will bless the Lord. Isaiah chapter 6 and in Revelation chapter 4, those are just two places where we see how the beings in heaven worship God. And whenever you see total worship, heavenly worship, sincere worship, there are two things that you find the being saying. The first thing is that they recognize that he is the creator. Hello, is anybody out there? Y'all gonna have to talk to me. I can't see you. The second thing that they say is that he is holy. And that there is nobody like him. Does anybody out there know there's nobody like him? Yeah. So right now, we're not short up in the choir stand, because where you don't see people, angels are up there. But this gives us an opportunity. I wanted to go back and worship today for anybody who ain't ashamed to worship him. You see in the news how all of these people are having so many tragedies and so many things are happening, and you don't know what's going to happen from one minute to the next. But if God has kept you, and if God has provided for you, if God let you drive last night and you didn't have an accident, because it had his angels all around you. Do I have a witness out there? Then, if you don't mind, I think he's worthy of worship. And he's worthy of praise. That's why we're going to sing that the Lord is holy. I said that the Lord is holy. And you ought to know for yourself that he's worthy. And somebody else ought to know that he's mighty. So just join in. Get in where you fit in. And let this be about you and the Lord. Help us, somebody, and tell him he's holy. Holy. Let's do that again, everybody, if you don't mind it. Just worship the Lord. Tell him he's holy. And if you want to, just lift up holy hands to him and sing it. Oh, holy. Holy, everybody. Let's sing it again. Holy. Oh, holy. Yes, you are. You are. Take it up. Let's take it up, everybody. Holy. Holy. Just worship him. You know what he's been to you. You know what he's done for you. Lord, you are holy. Let's take it up again, everybody, and tell him he's worthy. You're worthy. Yes, you are, Lord. Yes, you are, Lord. You're worthy. Worthy. Lord, you're so worthy. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You are. Now, if you know he's done things for you, tell him he's mighty. Mighty. Yes, you are. You are mighty God, mighty God, mighty God, mighty God, mighty God, mighty God, mighty. Has God ever made a way for you? You are mighty. Give God some praise, everybody. Amen. Yeah. Thank you, brother. Amen. Y'all all right out there? All right. Praise the Lord. Isn't God good? Is he good all of the time? Now, Minister Gene Carr came and told y'all, y'all know what y'all used to do out there when everybody was saying, hey, to the window. So I'm going to ask y'all again, is he good all the time? All right. Amen. I'm going to ask y'all to give God some praise for this choir. Amen. Beautiful job. They were short-handed and a little questioning, but I told them, God gonna bring us through. And he did. Also, give yourselves a hand. I heard y'all sing it out there. Beautiful, 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 beautiful. Amen. Deacon Lou, what was you singing? Was it baritone or tenor? Both of them. All right, y'all. God, our Father in heaven, as we come now, we surrender ourselves to your word, your teaching, and your truth, asking you to give us hearts to accept, spirits to receive, minds to comprehend.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Ephesians 2 and Romans 6. Ephesians 2 and Romans chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 2, Romans chapter 6. Ephesians 2, Romans 6. You still fool Minister McFarland, I know it. I'm going to behave today, Deacon Yoker. I'm going to behave today. See, when the church is full, I can't see who here. But since we got a lot of empty spaces, I see people now. But I'm going to be, it's good. Thank y'all for coming out to worship the Lord today. We can go to work. We can go to worship, can't we? All right, y'all. Ephesians 2 is where I'm going to start. Ephesians 2, verse number 1. Ephesians 2, verse number 1. And you he made alive when you were dead or slain by your trespasses and your sins. We talked last week about being stillborn. Remember? Okay, so we're picking up from that. Verse 2, in which at one time you walked habitually. You were following the course and fashion of this world, which means, in the Greek, when you break it down in the English, you were under the sway of the tendency of this present age. And it tells you that you were following the prince of the power of the air. When that is interpreted in the English, it means you were obedient to and under the control of the demon spirit that still constantly works. What's that next word? In, and just the next word, just one word. What's the next word? In. Okay. Y'all talking kind of timid. What's the word again? In, okay, spirit that works in them. The spirit is inside, moving and molding their spirit. Keep reading. And it still constantly works in the sons of what? Disobedience. These are the careless. Now, who are the careless? Those that do what they want to do and basically don't care that God is watching. They are about their own agenda. Okay? Before I go any further, we were so happy when we saw Bradley walk in today after surgery. Hey, Bradley. So you have the careless, those who, and when you say care, look at the word careless. I don't care. I'm going to do what I want to do. If he's watching, I don't care. The rebellious, who are those? I don't want to do it his way. I want to do it my way. We ain't got to conform to the word. The word got to conform to us. Okay? Y'all here? Yeah. The unbelieving. If you're not walking by faith, you're an unbeliever. Hello? It doesn't mean people who don't think God exists. It means those who have been told that he does exist, but it makes no difference. It makes no difference. Okay? Makes no difference. It's not a matter of knowing that God exists or that Jesus exists, because demons know the same thing. Keep reading. Those who go against the purposes of God. Ooh, now I know y'all saying them some bad people. Well, let's look at the next verse. Among these, we among these, we, before you think it's your cousin. Before you got in mind who you think he talking about. No, among these, we, as well as who?
You.
Now, either in this sanctuary, either we the we. I'm talking to the you. So either way it goes, all right? All of us once lived and conducted ourselves in the passions of our flesh. Look at this. Our behavior governed by our what? Corrupt and sensual nature. Y'all here with me? Okay. Look what the next word says. Yeah, what does the next word say?
Obey.
Okay, so if you are obeying something or someone, it means that they have authority over you. And you are fulfilling their desires. Stay with me. You are fulfilling their desires. That's why, are y'all listening to me?
Yeah.
You are fulfilling their desires. That's why Paul said in Romans 7, if I continue in this path, I know it's not me, but it's the sin that has control of me. This is why when individuals are walking and don't want to know the word or this, that, and the other, as we've talked about, you can't force somebody to want it. Either God, as he said in 6:44, has got to give them the desire, or they ain't gonna have it. So you need to stop fussing at them. You need to stop rolling your eyes at them when you see them. Stop doing all of that. If God does not give it, they will not have it. Okay? Y'all here?
Yes.
Look what it says then. You were obeying the impulses of the flesh. And, ooh, look at this. And the thoughts, y'all see where I am?
Yeah.
Thoughts of the mind. So when you were following your mind, your craving was dictated by your senses and your dark imaginings. That's why you thought you was always right. If something wrong, it's them. Hello, y'all here? Mm-hmm. Your mind was playing tricks. Your mind was playing tricks on you. Why? Because your mind was influenced by the spirit that was in control of you. So the spirit that was in control of you is going to make sure that its thoughts into your mind, its desires into your mind. So what you think is your desire, as Paul told us in Romans 7, really wasn't your desire. You were obeying. You were obeying something in you that had power over you that you never knew was there. Destroying you little by little and forcing you to destroy yourself. Because it is a spirit of death and destruction. Let's keep reading. We were then by nature children of God's what? Wrath. And heirs of his what? Like what? Heirs means it's something you inherit. So when that spirit had you, the only thing you looked forward to inheriting was God's wrath. And it's an inheritance, which means it's going to come. You don't have to do nothing. Why is it an inheritance? Because you were born into it. One of the greatest things about spiritual growth, development, and warfare is the fact that there is truth in that moniker and that little saying that says the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was to make people think he doesn't exist. And how little did you know that that was going on inside of you? Had no idea, no clue. How you gonna grow spiritually if you don't know what's going on? How you gonna engage in spiritual warfare when you're thinking about all of the warfare outside of your body that you think you gotta deal with? And that is a distraction, because the truth is, if I keep you distracted on what's outside, you ain't gonna focus. All right, let's go and look at this a little bit more in Romans 6, y'all. Verse 12 is where we're going to start. This particular passage helps us understand what we just read more clearly. Y'all see where I am?
Yeah.
Let not sin therefore what? Rule as what king? What's the next word? In. Stop. You see what Paul just told you? Who was king inside of you? It wasn't you. It was sin. And he's saying, now that you got the Holy Spirit, you got to stop letting sin be your king and let Christ be your king. That's why Colossians 1 says, the Lord took us out of the dominion of darkness and put us in the kingdom of his Son, where Christ is king. So spiritually, you're going to be in one of two places. You're going to either be in Christ's kingdom or you're going to be in sin's kingdom. And either way, you're going to obey your king. Y'all hear?
<Yeah. laughs>
Well, somebody say, I wish I wouldn't. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Look. When you are not taught what's happening regarding your eternal, everlasting soul, when you are not taught that, that is what you do not focus on, because your flesh is keeping you from looking at reality. Because your flesh doesn't want you to focus on the spirit. Because if you focus on the spirit, you might get stronger than your flesh. And your flesh know it's dying, so it wants to take you with it. Y'all listening to me? How many of y'all know your flesh ain't what it used to be? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? It knows there is a spirit in your flesh, and that spirit knows. Where did that spirit come from? It came from the dust of the earth. The earth knows that it's going to be destroyed. It was destroyed beforehand. It's going to be destroyed again. So now if the Lord clothed you with flesh that came from the dirt of the earth, the spirit that's in that dirt is now on you. And if that spirit knows that it's headed for destruction, then if I'm going, y'all hear me? If I'm going, I'm taking you with me. The best way to take you with me is to never let you know I'm here, so I can silently steal your life day after day after day. And every day that you focus on the stuff I make you focus on is a day you ain't focusing on what you should be focusing on. Let's go. Verse number 12. Let not sin, therefore, rule as king in your mortal, short-lived, look at that next word, what it say? Perishable bodies. What's that word after two? Did it say ask you? Did it say proposition? Or did it say petition you? Or what did it say? Hold up. If it can make you do something, it must be stronger than you, which is why the Lord's going to have to come in and give you his strength. Because you don't know that the thing in you is stronger than you and trying to destroy you at the same time, and you do not have the power to resist it. That's why when Jesus was going back to heaven, when he ascended in the clouds, what did he tell his disciples? Go to Jerusalem until you get power. Said, go. Read it. It's in Acts. Acts 1. End of John. He said, go to Jerusalem. He didn't say till you get tongues. He didn't say till you get a good song. He didn't say till you get happy. He said till you get power. Come on, y'all. And that's why after you have, and look what it says, to make you yield to its craving, to its what? Craving. So the stuff you thought you were wanting, it was wanting and making you get cravings and be subject. There we go again. Be subject. Be subject. You got making and you got being subject to. Now that ought to paint the picture for you. What's the word after two? Okay, yeah. Before the word after two and before lustuses.
It's, is that what it said? It's subject to its what? Lust and what? Evil passion. To its, not yours. It's making you do its bidding. And all the while fooling you into thinking you doing your thing. All the while making you feel you doing your thing. Look, if it was your thing, you'd never become addicted to it. I better go after that. You know what I'm saying? You never become addicted to it. And the Bible calls us. We're going to get to the scripture where the Bible says all of us are addicts. All of us are in recovery. We all in rehab. What you see on the outside when it comes to drugs is nothing but a shell and a symbol of what's going on inside. At least a drug addict know what he addicted to. I wish somebody listened to me. Amen. What that is? Somebody's phone. Look at this. You know what I'm saying? At least a drug addict. No, I'm addicted to coke. I'm addicted to this. I'm addicted to that. Now, it's going to take them a while to get there because they're in a state of denial, which is why if it takes them a while to get there because they're in denial physically, what do you think it's like when you are in denial? How does denial look spiritually? I got my own free will. I does what I wants to do. Now, when somebody tell you that, they high. They high. Now, not intentionally. They got a context. Y'all know context? Maybe I'm talking too much up in here. You know what I'm saying? They got a contact. Everybody know what a contact is, right? Okay. You know, that's interesting. There's some things I ask y'all about, and y'all like, no, what is that? I'm not sure I understand. And now when I talk about contact, Yep. Came in with one this morning. You know what I'm saying? But that's what we have. That's what you have. I want y'all to understand. Y'all behave over here. You know what I'm saying? I want y'all to understand that the physical is only a symbol and a picture of the spiritual. That's why in Hebrews 11 it said, we know that things that are seen were made from things that cannot be seen. That's why Jesus said, if I set you free, you're free indeed. But the key is, I gotta set you free. I whooped them at Calvary and I took, you didn't understand. You didn't understand. I had to do that for myself. You still have not understood the gravity of what I said when I took the keys of death. I wasn't talking about putting somebody in the ground. I'm talking about the keys to the cage you in.
I had to whoop them, the ones who held you bondage, and I had to take the keys that they have to your cell. That's why I said I have the keys of hell and death. You thought I was talking about just when you leave here? Why? Because why would I need the keys of that if I already told Lazarus to get up? I don't need no keys if I told Lazarus to get up. I don't need no keys if I told the widow's son who was going out and Fayeen, get up. No, I ain't talking about physical death. I'm talking about the cage you in and you just swinging and singing. Just like a little bird. Because you don't know that before Maya Angelou wrote it, I'm telling you why the caged bird sings. And by the way, you are the caged bird. I had a parakeet when I was little. I had two. One was blue, we call him Bluey. One was green, we call him Greeny. Exceptionally imaginative names, I know. So they'd fly around, you know, I'd clean the cage, you know, you pull the cage out, all that, clean the cage, and this, that, and the other, feed them and everything. And they looked happy. Mama was mopping the floor one day and hit the bottom of the cage. And the cage fell, the door opened, the patio door was open. Bluey, hey, Deacon Clarence, Bluey said, I'm out! I'm sitting here, and I'm standing on the patio, sitting there waiting for them to come back, because I know, now they happy. We were happy here. You know what I'm saying? They seem to be happy, but then when the door opened, they left. So I know they're coming back home. I'm still waiting to see them. Oh, I wasn't heartbroken. I just went and bought a turtle the next day. I was thinking, well, look at, they ain't what, but with my parakeets, they looked happy in the cage. Do I need to go any further? See, y'all smart. I'm glad I'm with a small congregation, Waniqua and Jamal. I'm with a small congregation. Bless the Lord. I ain't got to tell you, they looked happy in the cage. Because they never knew . See, and when you read these instructions, the Lord is saying the door is open and you flew out. Don't fly back in. But the parakeets couldn't open their own cage. Somebody outside the cage had to open the cage. You can't open your own door. One more point. Greeny stayed. I forgot to tell y'all that part. Yeah, Greeny stayed.
I guess Greeny say, look, I got it good. I ain't going nowhere. I don't know what's out there. I don't know, need to know what's out there. I'm got my little food here. This brother cleaning me up and everything. So, you know, I'm good. Greeny, I guess Greeny told Bluey, yeah, go help yourself, brother. Greeny said, thank you, and went. I mean, Bluey said, I'm getting confused. Greeny stayed in. Bluey flew out. Now, this is the question. Are you Greeny or Bluey? Hey, Deacon Bard, be some of y'all, you and Sister Bard, y'all being schnooks, and y'all see somebody from the church and walking in there, and they come down the aisle and say, I'm Bluey. He said, Lord, what is he teaching down there? What's going on? You know what I'm saying? But the key is this, y'all. I'm going to leave you with this. Are you Greeny? Or are you Bluey? Bluey got to take a risk and go where he ain't been before. Greeny is content because he ain't got the faith to risk. God does not take you where you've been. Say that again. You with me, Brother Lamb? God does not take you where you already been. When you walk with him, you gotta go where you ain't ever been before. Because you don't need to trust him with where you've been. You got to trust him with where you got to trust him with that song. Everybody sing that song, and I'm going to end on this. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him. With him. What? All right, y'all, that's all for today. Bow your heads, God. We know you have the keys and you freed us. For those of us that are still in the cage, take your gentle hand. Reach in the cage, grab us, and set us free. And when you do it, give us the level of trust to know that God will not lead me to something that he will not lead me through. Might be somebody here who's not accepted Jesus as your Lord and your Savior right where you are. Say, Lord, I believe you died for my sins at Calvary. I believe that you arose 3 days later. After that, ask him, Lord, fill me with your spirit of freedom. Take away from me the carelessness, the rebelliousness. Take all of that away from me. Empty it out. Clean my heart. Make this a beautiful dwelling place for you. Thank you for thank you for conquering the throne in my heart. Teach me what sin did so I can learn what Jesus is redoing. Make me grateful that you could easily have called me home before you were teaching me these lessons. So I thank you for every lesson.
I thank you for every day. I thank you for every opportunity. And it just gives me more to praise you for. If there's somebody here who wants to join this fellowship in front of you, which is in the slats, in the pews in front of you, there are cards there. Feel free to take one, fill it out front and back, and on your way out of the vestibule, if you will, just leave it in that box that looks like a cross. It's a wooden box that looks like a cross. Just put it there, and members of the membership intake team will be in touch with you. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling, oh hallelujah, and to present you faultless and blameless before the throne of God, to him, all wise Savior, be all glory, all majesty, all dominion, and all power. In Jesus' name, in the Greek, his name is Yeshua in the original Hebrew. In his name do we pray. Let every saint give God a hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And thank you, Jesus. Put your hands together. Give God some praise. You are dismissed. Have a wonderful week in the Lord.